you know, I'm just so curious and fascinated by the fact that you are a geishi.
Yeah.
And you are a Princeton graduate. And so what attracted you to Buddhism?
I was telling them the story. I was at Princeton, and then my mother died, my father died, and my brother died, all
yes,
in the same year.
And
then we met somebody else, Titu, same thing. So then I told them the story. I was going to a class in Buddhism, and there was an Indian boy in the class. And then he didn't go in the class one day. He sat outside under a tree. He said, I was going into class. He said, no, you don't go in. You sit down with me. And he said, look, you can't learn these things in the class. You have to go to India. Only if you go to India. So he talked me into it right there. And I took a year leave, and I went to Delhi. He said, I will meet you in the airport, and I'll take you to Hardwar, and you can stay in the... And then he never came. Then I got out of the airport, and I don't know anybody. And I'm 20 years old, and I'm in 19. And it was very frightening and confusing. And then I just got on the bus.
Found your way?
I just went to North, Hardwar, Rishikesh, and
yes.
then Missouri. And then I met some Tibetan monks. I asked the hotel owner, I need to meet the Buddhists. Mm-hmm. He looked at his watch, he said, unfortunately, you're 1,000 years too late. But he said, the Tibetans are coming.
Okay.
And then I met them. And then they said, if you want to learn more, you have to go to Dharamsala.
Right. But when you first went there, you went with all your Western philosophy,
yeah.
your Western way of thinking. And what kept you there? Means initially, it must have been such a strange new world.
I think the teachings of India make sense. You see, I was brought up a Christian.
Yes.
And I like Christianity, and I like the Bible. And I was signed up for a seminary. When I went to India, I was signed up for a seminary. And then I never went. Because in India, I found a good explanation of how life works. The teaching on karma.
Mm.
It's, if you learn it from someone good, if you learn it correctly, it's very, what do you call it? Convincing, what do you call that?
Convincing.
It's, there's a better word.
It's like it's you discover it being a part of yourself. It's like
yeah.
it's a fiber of your being, karma. So every
yeah.
all your actions are then guided through karma. Because either you're following it
yeah.
from, it's like a circle. I don't know, that's how I think of it.
Yeah, and also you can't, if you get a good explanation of it, it's indisputable. That's the word. If you get a clear explanation of karma, there are many bad explanations
okay.
in India also, and in China, worse in China. But if you get a good teaching on karma, it's convincing. Then my teacher told me, you go start a business. And you use the you learn the principles of karma. Now, this is your... I finished the Geshe exam. Then he said, now you have the real exam.
And now you go.
You go to New York, you start a business, and you just use the principles of karma. And you see if you can start a business.
Wow.
And I refused. And we had this tense, like, 6 months. And then finally he said, no, you have to go. And then I used them. And we made, the company was bought last year by Warren Buffett.
Yes, I read that.
Yeah. And it's
amazing.
It's $250 million.
Wow.
And no business experience. I don't know anything about it. It was all kind of...
You started with $7 in your pocket.
Yeah. So just to use the... That's why it's convincing, karma. If you really get a good explanation, it's very, very beautiful teaching. It's perfect.
You know, I also read about the hidden potential. You were talking about the seeds of the mind and the hidden potential. Can you explain a bit?
Yeah, I can. We're going to be doing this here, but it's called shunya, right?
Shunya, yeah. Yes.
So this is very misunderstood. Shunya means emptiness, right? And I studied it for many years and I didn't understand it. And then one day I got a good explanation. So I'll give you that example.
Okay.
So if I look at this thing, I see it as a pen.
Right.
Then the dog, there's a dog here.
Yeah.
And if I show to the dog, then they will...
Bite it.
They will bite it. They don't see a pen. They see something to bite. Who's right? Which one correct?
It's like the elephant being touched by eight blind men.
Who's correct?
All of them.
To say both of them are correct. Then you say, well, which one is it really? Is it really a pen or is it really a...
something to bite.
Something to bite. And then shunya. I was afraid to call it emptiness in the book because people misunderstand that. They think emptiness means nothing. But what it means is, if you just put it there and the dog goes out and the people go out, then what is it? Independent of...
It could be used for n number of things. It's possibility.
You could call it potential or you can call it shunya.
Yeah.
You mean, is it nothing? By itself, it's nothing. If a human comes in, it becomes a pen. If a dog comes in, it becomes a potential. And then you can use that in business. You can make millions of dollars. If you understand it, you can use it. So that's all. Shunya means by itself. Put it there and the dog goes away and the person goes away, it's just available. But then the big question, the next question is, why do I see a pen? And why does the dog see it? And that's, you call samskara. It's a seed in the mind. Vasana. So, I have a seed in my mind to see a pen. And the dog has a seed in their mind to see something to chew. I'd like to give the example of a building. So we bought a building, $15 million in New York. And everyone said it's a terrible building. It's in a bad area and it's a bad building. We saw something different. We saw...
potential.
Potential. So why? Why one person sees potential and the other person doesn't see anything? Then we say vasana.
Yes.
Seed in the mind.
Yeah.
So where does the seed come from? Because if you can plant that seed, then you can succeed at anything. It's very beautiful. It's really exciting. So the seed to see a pen rather than a...
something to buy.
Something to buy. It's very beautiful. It comes from giving someone. So I give you a pen with a good heart. And we say technique. So technique, there's a lot of details to that. And that's training. It needs training. But if you give a pen to someone that's training, you put a seed in your mind to see a pen rather than a...
limitless possibilities.
Yeah.
Or opportunity on what you could use it to do.
So if you want money, you find the seed for that.
Yeah.
And you just plant it. And then it comes. People give me hundreds of thousands of dollars for no reason. I was in a yoga class. Someone put $100,000 in their bag. You know? And I'm like, why? But it comes from...
I read in that pamphlet where you have your seeds of where you say you give money for good with a clear heart, with an intention to do good, and you will reap the benefits, but there's a time lag.
But that's the problem. If the time lag is too long,
yes, then what?
You can't connect the giving to the result.
Yeah.
Then you don't believe in it. You do some charity in 2009, and then something comes to you in 2012. It's too far apart. And then you can't make the connection. So in this system, in the Vajracchedaka Sutra, you speed it up. So if you have a correct technique, and if you make it fast, and if you give something in October and it comes back in November, then you trust the process. Then you believe the process. Then you can use it. But if it takes too much time, you can't connect what you did to what came to you. And then you don't believe it. You can't use it.
So is that the Diamond Cutter Sutra?
The Diamond Cutter Sutra is like an LSD trip. Okay? It's completely incomprehensible. You know, I asked my teacher, he said, you start a business in New York. Then I said, well, I don't have any experience in business and I don't like business. That's why I'm in a monastery. Then he said, I'll give you business plan. Then I said, okay, you give me business plan. He gave me the Diamond Cutter Sutra. I'll give you an example. Buddha is talking to his disciple, Subhuti. He says, is a mountain big? And Subhuti says, a mountain is big. And then Buddha says, why? And Subhuti says, because it's not big. You know, I asked my teacher, how am I going to use this to start a business? This is ridiculous. It's just silly talk. You know? And then he said, you have to work on it. And I did. And then it's a beautiful, beautiful teaching. If you understand it. We're doing the Heart Sutra in, Tuesday and Wednesday night?
Tuesday.
So that's very famous in China, Shinjin, and very famous in India. That's Prajna Paramita Hridaya Sutra. Very, very famous. Very old, 2,000 years old. And you can use that also. And everything is there. If you get a good instruction, you can use it for... I used to have a handicap in my leg. I couldn't walk when I was in the band business. Some days I got invited to London for De Beers. It's a big honor. You only like 12 people are invited to buy the diamonds from De Beers. Then I got my invitation and I couldn't go. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get out of bed. And I used this thing. And now I do ballet. I started ballet at 50.
Wow.
And last year I picked up the lady, you know. And you can change the bone also. I changed the bone. It's very beautiful. If you understand those sutras, if you really get a good teacher, then... And it's not like some mystical thing or you have to meditate or... It's just factual. And you learn a technique and you try it and it works.
You have mentioned a couple of times you need a good teacher. You have had 22 years of training and more.
Yeah.
How can people like us, in one evening with you on the Diamond Sutra, get our minds around whatever you're trying to give us?
I think you can do it if you get a good... I mean, because it makes sense. If someone explains it carefully for 2 hours, that's... Then half of the task is finished.
It's a distillation of 22 years?
Yeah. It took 22.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and in a normal talk... I had two women in New York. They came to the talk. They came to one talk, and then they went home. They were secretary in an advertising company. And then they went home, and they got the book, and they studied it. They quit the job. They started their own advertising business in an apartment. In one room in an apartment. Now that's a $1 billion business.
Wow.
It's 4 times bigger than my company. You know? And I call them. They are just housewives. They have kids. They go to soccer with the kids. And I call them and they say, thank you so much. And then they say, we're busy right now. We call it. You know, they don't have time to talk to me. But they
applied your...
They really did it. And you know, when I give the talk in New York or someplace, I like to show their building. They have a building on Park Avenue. It's a huge skyscraper, and it's all beautiful. Ningbo.
How would you define success? Is it money?
I say it has 4 parts. First, you should have money, because money is... you need to eat, you need a house. Even if you're going to be a yogi, you need a floor and you need a house.
Okay.
I stayed in a cave, it doesn't work. I tried it. It's uncomfortable.
Okay.
And it's impractical. So first you need a...
money.
Money's not bad. You use money to prove that the system works.
Okay.
Then step two, I would say, if you have money but you don't have health, that's a problem. So a lot of people ruin their health getting money. They become old getting money. They want to impress some girl, they want to have a Jaguar, they work very hard, and then they get a heart attack. They have money but they can't walk.
Yeah.
So you need to be healthy to use the money. And then to me, you need a relationship. There are so many lonely, wealthy people. So to have, first you should be comfortable. I call oxygen money. Like, you don't worry about the oxygen here.
Yeah.
You don't think about it.
Yeah.
So you should have so much money that you don't think about it.
Right.
And then secondly, you should be healthy, strong, young. And then third, you should have...
relationship, a loving relationship.
Yeah, have a nice partner and a nice family. Then you should help them. They must. Because once you get the first three, then you want to do something real. And but I don't make a distinction. I don't say the first three are bad. I think you need them. Or it's nice to have them. It's not a problem.
No, I think that's very practical.
This is their building. I like to show it to people.
Wow.
Okay.
Amazing.
It's funny, yeah?
It's the tallest building among the others in the neighborhood.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's very typical because their whole board of directors is housewives.
And the top is like a diamond.
Yeah. And the whole board of directors is ladies with kids. And they're like, I gotta leave, I gotta take the kids to soccer. And it's beautiful. It's fun. So I think to me, success is those three, but then help them do something for them. Because you will want to. It's natural for a human being. After you get money and you have everything you need, then it's a natural hunger to help other people.
Right. You know, in our pursuit of money sometimes, because that is the first indication of success, is money. So in our pursuit, we just get so caught up that there is very little harmony in the other areas of our life.
Yeah.
From your perspective, what would be few simple strategies that we could use to bring work-life balance, harmony in our life.
If you understand how to make money, it doesn't take any time. Okay. I work 3 days a week. I have 200 companies. 200 companies and projects going on. And I work 3 days a week. I go home at 5. If you understand this thing, then everything is easier and faster. It doesn't take your attention or your life. And then you can do other things. You can enjoy your life. So I really, really enjoy my life. And I'm not tired or, you know, burned out. I don't get that way. I don't, like, go crazy. How many times did I get on the phone in the last few days? I mean, once, right? It's just other people are taking care of it. If you know the technique, then you can have a life. You can have your life.
It's like a carrot dangling somewhere in the universe. The technique.
Yeah, no, it's a technique. That is a carrot. That's a carrot. Yeah, many people ask me, oh, tell me the technique. That takes training.
That takes training.
That takes you at least come to one talk. I almost prefer that to be interviewed that they come after the talk.
Yeah.
Because then you feel comfortable. The technique is, it takes two talks, really.
Two talks.
But one you can get...
It's like the trailer. It's like the trailer for the main event.
I'm going to try to do it here in one talk. It's okay, you can do it, but it's not going to be... Then you need some follow-up or something to succeed. And we don't charge anything. And we have a built university.
Yes, I saw it online. It's very impressive.
It's
very
beautiful.
Very, very
we just
nice.
Last year finished 30 buildings.
Yeah.
And we don't charge anything.
Yeah.
And I told her... we paid off the land. The land is 1,000 acres. How many hectares? How many hectares is 1,000 acres? How many hectares is 1,000 acres?
1,000 times 1,000.
I don't know. It's like 3,000 hectares or something. I think it's the largest in America. But we paid it off 25 years early, and we don't charge anything. You just need the.
You know, when a friend of mine went to Gandhi Jayanti at Gandhi's on the 100th anniversary of his death. And there they met this old lady who was one of his disciples and lived there. So they said, what are the two things you remember most about Gandhiji? And she said, the first thing that we all know is be the change you see in the world. But the second thing, very interestingly, he said, be shunya.
Really?
Yes. So, and then she drew a circle on the ground. And she said, be the shunya. And so he said, that be the opening to possibility. And which is exactly what you are saying.
Yeah. He's a great... That idea, that's a long story. But there are 3 bad ideas about shunya.
No, so we don't want to know about that.
No, I'll tell you quickly. My lama asked me to meditate. I told this story, I think you heard the story. But he said, you go meditate. And then I said, what meditate? This is my first day. In the monastery. They put me in a very small room. They said, you have to stay here for a few days. It was 30 years. I can touch the walls. My bed is all made for Tibetan people. And I have to sleep like this, you know? And so he said, you meditate about shunya. Do you know emptiness? I said, yes. Because I read a book, you know? Then I tried to meditate about nothing. Black. Everything black. Like space. Then he interviewed me. He said, what did you meditate? Emptiness. And he said, what is it? I said, blank. Then he laughed. He said, you're stupid. You know. He said, you go back again. You try again. Then I meditated. Some people say, try not to think about anything. Try to empty the mind. Don't think about it. This is shunya. Then he said, oh, that's so stupid. You know, he was very funny. Then the third idea was, everything is maya. Everything is illusion. Nothing matters. He said, that's the worst one. You know. And then shunya is this. Shunya is... it can be either one, depending on your vasana. And the vasana is put there, you need other people. You need to do something for other people. And that puts the seed. But the seed cannot project. It needs an empty screen. Then the seed has a place to project. So shunya is, everything is shunya. That's what we're doing in the Heart Sutra, Shinjing. It's very famous in Chinese also.
And what does that mean?
Rupa shunyatam.
Rupa shunyatam.
Rupa.
Yeah, rupa.
It's very famous.
Yes.
Na pratyak.
Na pratyak.
Shunyata na pratyak rupa. Rupa na pratyak shunyata. Very famous.
Yes, yes, I understand.
We're teaching that,
that
in Singapore, Tuesday, Wednesday. But that's the. So you can, if you understand the technique, you can make, you can do anything. You can
very
change.
Very tantalizing.
No, you can change the bone in your body.
Wow.
You can make millions of bucks, and it's not a struggle. It's just you do it, and that's all. And then you can do more interesting things.
Amazing. Yes. Well, so it does that. Is this your first time to Indonesia?
Yes.
And
yeah.
This is what you want to teach people here in Indonesia?
I love to teach people to succeed. Those two women, they make me so happy. Every time I see them, they see me, they get this big smile. They made $1 billion, you know? And they look at me, and I feel so happy to make someone successful. And that happened to thousands of people. And I'm just, I feel happy to do that. To give someone this gift, or someone had cancer, and it's the same thing. You teach them the same thing. And I have a lady, Lily, but she had breast cancer, and then I taught her about this thing and what to do, how to put the vasana to change the breast cancer. She's at our university. She is building the buildings with her own hands. She's 75. This is 20 years ago. She had cancer. And now she's building she built one of the buildings with her hand. And she's lifting this. It's 20 kilos. And she's, you see, I like that. That's why I come.
Last question.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, two. What is happiness?
I think it's the how you feel when you help someone succeed. I think so. For me, you get what you need, but then the feeling making someone else happy. The feeling of making someone else happy is happiness.
And, you know, with all of us view the world through our filters of experience and learning. How do you view it? Explain to me how you look at the world.
Nirvana. Okay? The word nirvana. It means to remove your klesha.
Yes.
Klesha means...
your sins or your... whatever is not perfect.
Emotion.
Yes.
Well, you could say anger or jealousy or desire or something like that.
Okay.
And then if you understand the technique... you can also clean your pleasures. And then you don't have any anger or jealousy or desire, bad desire. There's good desire. You like to have a nice chai. That's not bad. You want to hurt someone to take the chai. That's a different thing. But if you continue to clean your mind, then eventually you experience the world as all devas.
As devas.
Everybody.
Yeah.
So everyone seems like...
a divine being.
Everyone. And not you're not... trying to do that, it just happens. In the end, if you keep doing this thing, then it happens.
So do you see the divine being in everybody you meet?
I don't all the time. Sometimes I get upset. If someone pushed me on the airplane or something, I don't see them as deva. I'm being honest, you know. But mostly, I'm experiencing the world like that,
yeah.
Mostly. And
wow.
it's very beautiful.
Thank you so much for sharing
a
little bit.
Have some chai.
I will. Thank you so much.